This morning I want to focus on the parable that Jesus told in the back half of our text today, after he fully debunked all of that heretical theology of people like Pat Robertson and Franklin Graham and Jerry Falwell Jr. and so many more who claim that God punishes people, specific people, for their specific sins, and that we all face the consequences of that. That's not the God of heaven and earth. And as long as we keep letting it happen and be said without contradicting it, then we're letting heresy rule the day. So many people still believe in that. So many people think if a pastor or a preacher is on television that he must be speaking with some kind of authority. That's not God's authority. That's called money. All right? And money is an authority of the world, not of heaven. So you need to listen with your hearts. Turn off the false heretics on TV, right? And read your Bible. You'd be much better doing that than listening to them. If you want a full list of the people that I would recommend you call out, I will be glad to provide that. At least the list I have. Amen. They're the most dangerous thing to Jesus Christ in the world today. They may be great for their church, which is all huge, beautiful, large, and their planes and their automobiles, but they're not doing a thing for Jesus Christ in the world. Anyway, having said that, I'd like to focus on the parable that Jesus told. This is something Jesus actually said, right? And he talked about that tree, right? And the one going to plant the tree. Never know what's going to happen to a tree. But it lives and dies mostly according to God's will. Only God can grow a tree. And more often than not, trees grow according to God's will, unless there's some intervention, human or natural. And then again, they respond according to God's will. Trees have no self-will, and they're creation of God. Trees are great models for us about how to live and die in the world. While that tree you see on the screen may eventually pass away in that form, it will never die. Every bit of that tree goes right back into the soil it came from and helps grow the next round of trees, just like we do when we leave this earth. Anyway, I know that tree. Do you? I know the ways of the world and what the ways of the world can do to trees like me. Do you? But I have also learned the ways of God and what, when left to God's care, what God can do with a tree like that, a tree like me, a tree like you. That tree there is my life sometimes. I live in a sinful world, surrounded by sin. I have it in my heart, I have it in my mind. It's all around the world. I'm a human being. I'm fallen. I'm limited in my capacity to be fully embraced by the Spirit of God. But I can work every day to embrace as much as I can. I find myself still today often in storms, in darkness, hard rains, even thunder and lightning. Sometimes it's of my own doing, and sometimes it's just the world I live in. Sometimes it does this to me. You know that feeling? Just for me, I have learned that God is stronger than any storm I might face. I've learned that in the end, storms come and go in this world. But God's strength always wins and grows. Always wins and always grows. When Amy and I lived in Lexington, we had a beautiful two-story house, kind of a white stucco at the end of a court. When you pulled into the court, you looked straight at our house down at the end. And right in front of our house, in fact, bordering the front porch, as it were, was one of those pear trees that, you know, are all over the suburbs of America. Don't know if you know much about pear trees. I didn't. I just know I love trees. Pear trees are very susceptible to the weather, especially when they're younger. This was my favorite tree in our yard. We had 9 in the backyard. But this was the one in front. This is the one when I sat on the porch that I looked at and meditated on and prayed to and watched God work in the midst of this tree. And then one night during a bad storm, lightning struck that tree. And when we woke up the next day, it looked a lot like that tree, except it was right on our front porch. Now, Amy, being the practical one in the family, in case I know that's no great epiphany or revelation to any of you, but she kind of preferred that we not have a half-dead, split-in-half tree right in front of our house on our front porch, basically. Who knew? Me, a little less practical. I love that tree. That tree, to me, is like all other trees. It's a sign of God's will and strength. And so we do what all great married couples who, for instance, have made it 60 years do. Bob, we compromised. Do you know that word? It's dangerous. I just want to warn you. It's dangerous, and you got to pick your spots. But we did, and we had arborists come out and, for as a first step, take half the tree away. So now we had a half-dead, split-in-half tree in our front yard without the other half laying in the yard. I am that tree. And God is my God. And that tree survived. And as I sat on the front porch now, after jogging or after coming in from working or something and sitting in our rocker, and I meditated on that tree, I looked for little signs of life coming out of the other half. Little green sprouts or squirrel resting on it. Oh, that's what it is. It's a recliner for squirrels now. Yeah, it's serving God's purpose. And over time, Amy didn't push too hard about taking the rest of it down. It came up every now and then, but she kind of let it go. And then the next summer, forget what I was doing that day, probably out for a run, and came back and sat on the porch and looked at the tree. And it looked like the next slide, Terry. See, I don't see too well. But I was taken away by a revelation about what God can do with trees that get broken. What God can do is make those broken trees even more beautiful and more wonderful and more amazing. I call those things miracles, things only God can do. So I was witness to a miracle in front of me with that tree. Do with it. And I believed in resurrection again. Something we all need every day. It's that chance to pick ourselves back up from our brokenness, whatever it may be on any given day, and let God mend us, and feed us, and make us whole again. Come back even stronger and more beautiful, more wonderful, and more amazing. That tree, for me, is an example of my life. But then I started thinking about that tree. That's an example of my family. That's an example of this church. From brokenness to beauty. That's a tree that can look like our schools. From stress and anxiety and tension to peace, serenity, and love. That's a tree that can look like our workplaces. Places that if we just turn them over to God can become little patches of the kingdom if we let God have it. Even our workplaces can be beautiful and amazing, wonderful. Not to mention our neighborhoods. We live in broken neighborhoods. They've been weathered by the experiences of life and human relations as they were. Our neighborhoods have been hit by sin, as have our workplaces and our schools and our churches and our families and our lives. Trees like those are susceptible to the damage that can be caused by life's storms. So I caution you, as you head out into the world, to not go looking for trees that you can chop down. Because maybe they aren't living up to your standard yet. Maybe trees that aren't yielding any fruit for you yet in your life. Maybe trees that look barren. Trees that you might think are dying. Trees that scare you for some reason or threaten you are just waiting for you to let go of them so God can work in them. You heard about that gardener in our scripture that digs around those trees if you'll back off and fertilizes them and brings them back to life according to God's will, not yours, if you just give God a chance. God is the ruler of heaven and earth. God heals broken trees and makes them whole. So give God some time and some space. All the things that look broken to you today can be healed and made whole by God tomorrow if you give them to God. Including you and your family and your church and your school and your workplace and your neighborhood. God is the ruler of heaven and earth. We are God's people. This is God's world. Let's put our axes down for today. And let's call on God to heal those who need healing. And to love those who need loving. And to nurture those that need nurturing. And instead of being human hands in the face of broken trees, let's be God's hands in the face of resurrection. And let's bring new life into the world. According to God's plan. Amen.